Edgestone Properties is a leading home builder in southern New Hampshire. With over 33 years' experience, Edgestone offers highly valued residential homes, including first-time buyer, luxury move-up, and senior community opportunities. Edgestone also offers well-located rental apartments, including active adult communities. Visit us at EdgestoneProperties.com or call us at 603-889-5208 to learn more. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. That's 603-889-5208.
Next up, you'll be listening to United Way Community Connections with Mike Affelberg.
United Way Community Connections. United Way Community Connections broadcasts every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on WSMN. In United Way Community Connections, you will be introduced to leaders from all of the great nonprofits in Greater Nashua. From caring for our children to our seniors, from helping our homeless pets to our at-risk vets, from learning the skills to get your GED, to dealing with trauma and substance abuse. Community Connections is the place to learn with Mike Affelberg about what's going on. Learn how you can help and make a difference from the experts. So sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy the show, which is making a difference in Greater Nashua. Here's your host, Mike Affelberg.
Well, good Monday morning, and welcome to the United Way Community Connections radio show. I'm your host, Mike Affelberg. It is Monday, October 23rd, 2023. Hoping everybody had just a fantastic weekend. I know I had a pretty great weekend, so I'm hoping you did as well. It's a beautiful day here in downtown Nashua. We had kind of a rainy weekend. That's been the theme pretty much for the last 4 months, but we're used to it by now. Regardless, I'm hoping you had a great weekend anyway and got out and did something fun, or just chilled on the couch and had a bowl of soup or whatever the case may be. So this was pretty good week at United Way. Last week we had our Day of Caring around gleaning on Monday, and that was amazing. Just after our radio show last week, we headed out to a farm out just over the Hollis line into Pepperell, and that is Kimball's Fruit Farm. And in conjunction with the Hillsborough County Gleaners, a nonprofit that works to end food insecurity in our community through the act of gleaning, which is bringing in the portion of a harvest that the farmer donates to the community. Through that practice, we were able to, with a bunch of volunteers, we had about 40, 45 volunteers out there. We actually were able to glean 8,000 pounds of apples. That's a lot of apples. Let me tell you, that is a lot of apples. And it all went to the soup kitchens and food pantries of Greater Nashua. About 15 different organizations were the recipients of that produce. And I am guessing that this week they're serving up a lot of apple crisp and apple sauce and apple stuff. So it was a great day. We're really appreciative for all the volunteers, also all the sponsors that make our Days of Caring possible, as well as the partnership, in this case, with Kimball Fruit Farm and with the Hillsborough County Gleaners. So that's pretty amazing, and we're excited about how that went last week. Yeah, this week is big week at United Way. On Wednesday is our first ever, and hopefully first annual, Karaoke Contest. Karaoke, that's play on words. It's karaoke. You know what karaoke is, K-A-R-A-O-K-E, right? Ours is Karaoke, C-A-R-E-E-O-K-E. And what that is a competition that's going to be taking place right here at the Nashua Center for the Arts, right across the street. I'm looking at it right now, right across the street from us on Main Street and West Pearl Street in Nashua. Brand new performance venue. And we have the entire space for the evening on Wednesday. We have a grand total of 17 acts that will be on stage performing and competing against one another. Those acts, four of those are groups, and the other 13 are individual solo artists. They're going to be doing traditional karaoke, and we have several judges that are going to be looking at how they do. And those judges include Mayor Donches, Chris Johnson from the Nashua Telegraph, Melanie Hitchcock from the New Hampshire Union Leader, as well as Kendall Reyes, local football fame, played for the Tennessee Titans and for the San Diego Chargers after leaving Nashua North, And they're going to be judging our competitors based on their vocal performance, their stage presence, and their costuming and sort of authenticity, if you will. They are also getting some bonus points for fundraising. Each of them had to raise some money in order to participate. And then, in addition to all of that, we're going to have a People's Choice Award competition as part of the event. People's Choice will be very easy. You can vote by just going to a QR code that we'll be presenting the evening of the event. Somebody comes up on stage, you love what they did, you go to the QR code, you make a small donation, that donation translates into votes, $5 per vote. So we've got all sorts of great stuff going on. It's going to be probably two and a half hour event. Mike Morin is going to be the MC for the event, and it's great. It's presented by Service Credit Union, and the other major sponsor, along with Service Credit Union, St. Joseph Hospital, and a whole bunch of other partners in the community. You can still get some information about the event. There are still tickets available for Wednesday's performance, which begins at 6 p.m. Tickets are all available at the Performing Arts Center website, or you can simply go to unitedwaynashua.org, click on the big pop-up that comes up for karaoke, and then you'll see down there a button that says purchase your tickets. So we'd love to see many, many, many of you there Wednesday evening. So that's coming up. Other than that, we are coming into the fall season right now at United Way and in many nonprofits. Fall season is a time when you do a little bit of regrouping, a little bit of outreach into the community. You do a lot of fundraising. It's a very popular season for that. I want to mention the Santa Fund is underway at United Way. Santa Fund is a program that is started by the Nashua Telegraph, still is a Nashua Telegraph fundraiser, which supports kids and families during the holidays, has for over 50 years. United Way is the fiscal agent for the partnership. So if you want to donate to the Santa Fund and help a kid this year, what you're really doing is you're supporting the programs at the Nashua Salvation Army, Milford's Share Outreach, and also the Front Door Agency, all three of which coordinate their holiday gift programs. You can make a donation if you'd like by going to the United Way website, unitedwaynashua.org, and under the tab for giving, you'll see the Santa Fund, and it'll pop right up and show you how you can make a donation. Of course, if you want to donate, if you want to buy a gift card and bring it by the office at United Way, you're welcome to do that. If you want to buy some toys, please, brand new only, unwrapped in their original packaging. That's what we want for donations if you wanted to donate a toy or a gift. So you can brighten someone's holiday this year by giving to the Santa Fund. So we have that going on right now. We have karaoke coming up this Wednesday. And then after that, we're kind of into the season of fundraising. Want to just mention right up front, we are once again going to do the 24-hour radio show. I know that my friend and the show station owner, George, is working on helping me with the scheduling there. We're hoping to do that radio show for 24 hours starting Sunday evening right after Thanksgiving and going right into Monday evening, 24 hours straight through. With dozens of interviews with local nonprofits and community leaders and volunteers, talking about all the goodness that is in our community, and also talking a little bit about how a small gift at the end of the year, either on Giving Tuesday or to a particular organization, can make all the difference. So we'll be talking a lot about philanthropy, local philanthropy, giving, and a lot of different organizations and what they're doing. That's coming up. 24 hours of Nashua greatness. And that is about all I wanted to talk about today before our break. You're listening to the Community Connections Radio Show. Each and every Monday morning, we come to you live right here on WSMN 1590 AM and 95.3 FM, but also live streaming at WSMN.live and live on our Facebook feed at United Way of Greater Nashua's Facebook feed. The show is all about nonprofits, and each week, we interview two different organizations, sometimes businesses, sometimes local business owners, sometimes volunteers from the community, but always somebody doing something to make our community stronger, smarter, safer, healthier, and happier. After the break, we're going to have our first interview. That today is with the New Hampshire Children's Trust, an organization which you may not have heard of, but does a lot of tremendous work in our community. Then we'll be taking our second break, and after that, we have a friend of mine who's coming on who is from the Sohegan Valley area, Robin Goulette, and she's going to talk a little bit about some of the philanthropy that she gets involved with and her business as well. And that's going to take us to the top of the hour. You're listening to the United Way Community Connections radio show, and I'm your host, Mike Affelberg.
Some new shirts for my business.
Just call Sal.
Does he do screen printing also?
Just call Sal.
Does he embroider shirts too?
Just call Sal.
I also need business cards and brochures.
Just call Sal.
How about yard and lawn signs?
Just call Sal.
And promotional products to give my customers?
Just call Sal.
Who is Sal?
I'm Sal. My wife Jennifer and I are the proud owners of Fully Promoted of Southern New Hampshire. If you need embroidered or screen printed shirts, business cards, brochures, lawn signs, promotional products, and even personal protective equipment for your business or organization, just call me or stop by our showroom, conveniently located at 410 South River Road in Bedford, right off the Everett Turnpike. You can also visit our website at fullypromotedsnh.com. That's fullypromotedsnh.com. We are your one-stop shop for all your promotional needs. Fully Promoted of Southern New Hampshire. Our business is to help you grow your business.
Just call Sal.
Edgestone Properties is a leading home builder in Southern New Hampshire. With over 33 years' experience, Edgestone offers highly valued residential homes, including first-time buyer, luxury move-up, and senior community opportunities. Edgestone also offers well-located rental apartments, including active adult communities. Visit us at edgestoneproperties.com or call us at 603-889-5208 to learn more. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. That's 603-889-5208.
Since 1930, United Way of Greater Nashua has been your trusted partner to fight for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in every community. When a low-income child needs access to dental care, or parents need quality after-school programs where their kids can learn and be safe, United Way is there. When a person with disabilities needs a supportive day program where they can thrive, or a family loses its home and needs a place to regain financial stability, United Way is there. When a homebound senior needs food and supportive social connections, or when it comes time to die with dignity, United Way is there. The programs supported by your United Way are the heart and soul of Greater Nashua. When you volunteer or donate to United Way, you lift up the community where you live and you work. As a highly regarded nonprofit with Charity Navigator and GuideStar, you can be sure that your donations will be used for the work of making Greater Nashua stronger, smarter, and safer. Learn more and connect with us at UnitedWayNashua.org.
CrossNet offers IT services for small and medium-sized clients. We create tailor-made plans for your business's unique needs. From computer repairs to managing networks, servers and desktop services, CrossNet Inc. offers managed services, cybersecurity, data backups, virus, ransomware protection, web filtering, and more. For more information, go to CrossNetInc.com or call for your personalized IT services today at 603-810-1000. CrossNet Inc. IT Services keeps your businesses running when you are on the run.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to the United Way Community Connections radio show. I'm your host, Mike Affelberg. It's Monday, October 23rd, 2023, 10-23-23. That seems like a number that is memorable enough, right? And we're here in the studio today with Cliff Simmons. Cliff is the executive director for the New Hampshire Children's Trust, has never been with me on the show before, so excited to hear from you. Cliff, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mike. I'm so happy to be here.
It's great. How was your weekend? Was it good?
It was actually really good. I got to sneak between the raindrops and do a little bit of outdoor activity this weekend.
Well, I hear you there. Sneaky between the raindrops was really a little bit of a challenge, especially Saturday was just a washout.
But it was.
Yeah. Anyway, well, glad to see you this morning and glad to be talking about the New Hampshire Children's Trust. I'm assuming that most of the people listening probably haven't heard of what you do. And, you know, our audience is, you know, commuters and people just listening to the radio during the day. So let's talk a little bit about the trust. What is it that you do? How long have you been doing it? Where do you get involved? How are you helping the community to be better?
Yeah, the Children's Trust is the backbone organization for the prevention of child abuse and neglect. And we're really on the primary prevention side. And it's what we call upstream work and with the system of child well-being with it throughout the state. So we are really trying to strengthen families and get to them and get the resources to them that they need before they are ever in crisis. So we know that there is plenty of evidence out there that says that when families have a strong sense of community and they have resources available to them and housing and food and everything else, that they're in a less stressed situation. And when you're less stressed, you're less likely to have incidences of neglect and abuse within the home.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're focusing on those, preventing those things which become adverse childhood experiences down the road.
Exactly. We like to look at it this way. I think the best analogy with the upstream is that before anybody gets in the water and you have to throw them a life preserver, we are there to say, watch out, there's a steep cliff here. You don't need to go into the water. We'll provide you the resources before you get there. And then they're not in that crisis.
Yeah. Okay. So let's dig a little bit deeper then, Cliff. Tell me a little bit about then, or share with our listeners, how do you go about actually doing this work?
Right. So we're considered a systems level organization. So we work with a statewide network of family resource centers that provide these resources for families. And they're all over the state. So Nashua has Waypoint and Antrim has Grapevine. And they're all independent community organizations that work within their community and know their communities very well. So what we do is we provide them with funding. We provide them with technical assistance. We provide them with program development. And so that we can bring these funds, resources, and programs to these families in their communities, which is really the key to a successful community connection.
In fact, Waypoint's Family Resource Center is like 100 yards from where we're sitting.
Yes, it is.
Right down here. Oops, right down here on West Pearl Street. And absolutely, if anybody's ever interested in dropping in, I'm sure they would love to see you and give you a little bit of a tour of the place and talk about what they do here in our community.
Yeah, they're a great organization. They actually have several of the family resource centers within the network. We have 16 altogether that range from as far south as Nashua to up to Gorm, in which they have a series of four or five in the North Country there. Seacoast has them, Keene, Peterborough. They are all covering the state. I would say 95%+ of the state are covered so that folks are within reach of their family resource center. And there are some amazing resources there. And it is about strengthening families. It is about programs that are for parents. And we work with kinship families quite a bit, which are relative caregivers in our state. And we have programs such as PASTA, which is parenting a second time around. So it's a great opportunity for these grandparents who may be taking care of their grandchildren to connect with other grandchildren. I always like to say, so when they see their 13-year-old in the backyard dancing in front of their phone and they say, well, I'm just making a TikTok, Grandma, they know what that means. So it's a very helpful way of creating community.
Yeah, that's actually really true. I think my daughter's big into TikTok, and so I've had to learn what that means as well. And it's not easy sometimes, I have to say. So are there some ways in which people from the community can get involved with supporting the work or volunteering with you or going to events? What are some of the ways in which people get involved with the Children's Trust?
Yeah, I think, and going to our website, which is nhchildrenstrust.org, is a great way to learn about the resources that are out there and where your local family resource center is. That's one way you can look to support within your local community. For the Children's Trust, we're always accepting donations. The money that we collect and the money that we bring in is we disperse out to the estates, and we also provide the services. I didn't mean throughout the state to the FRCs and to help provide some of those services. And we do other things with it as well. We collect a lot of data so that the work that's being done by these family resource centers out there is, you know, it's provable, and that we can actually measure the impact and make adjustments as we see necessary, and to provide more funding. One of the programs that we do is called Trestle Funds, which we provide in partnership with the New Hampshire Charitable Foundation, a concrete support fund, a low barrier fund for families that need some of that, you know, a little push or a little bit of help in a time of need. And they can sometimes, or they can access that through their family resource center. So those are some of the ways that we try to bring some of the community spirit and those who want to support us, and so it could get to their local communities.
One of the things I found on your website, which I think is intriguing, is the Your Voice Project. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we have a great marketing communications piece, and it's part of what we do in partnership with the Department of Health and Human Services with the state. And that is trying to, one, create an atmosphere and almost social norms change so that people know where their family resource centers are and what they can access them with, but also to get a sense of what this definition or idea of primary prevention is and how you can participate in that. Because we're all prevention. Right. Everything that we do is prevention. Mm-hmm. This morning, I walked here because I live close by in Nashua, and I came out my front door, and a new neighbor who just moved in was next door raking leaves. So I stopped and talked with him for a few minutes, gave him a little bit of break from raking the leaves that he was trying to do in between the raindrops all weekend, and just talked with him. That's part of prevention, right? If you're in a grocery store and you distract a child while mom's trying to get the groceries onto the conveyor belt, that's prevention. That helps. It lowers stress. It creates a connection within the community. So it's all about trying to get people to understand that this primary prevention thing that is not very tangible. I tongue in cheek, I say it's the absence of something. And mm-hmm. to get people to understand what that all means and how their voice and how the voice of parents and can contribute to this idea of strengthening families and helping others.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And I appreciate the way you described that. Prevention isn't as tangible as we'd like, and it sometimes really is the absence of it's what's missing. And it's kind of like you know it when you see it, right? It's the absence of toxic, chemicals in the environment. It's the absence of lack of opportunity to go out and, as you say, walk, meet with neighbors, that type of thing.
Yeah, it is, I found it interesting when I came into the organization 4 years ago about that exact thing. How do you let people know what this thing is when, if it's working, you should not see it, right? So less kids in foster care, more families, multi-generational, helping out to raise children, how communities are connecting to do all that. And it's things that sometimes we take for granted in our everyday lives, but we're doing it.
Yeah. So I wanted to say, Cliff, is the I found the Ride for Resilience on your website.
Yes.
That was a couple weeks ago.
It was.
And a 103-mile bike ride up in the Whites, which is beautiful area up around. I'm looking at the, it looks like you actually hit different places, starting at Waypoint and going to the Lakes Region Community Services. And so going to different nonprofit partners along the way. Which I love. How'd the ride go? Did you do it?
I did it last year.
Okay.
But I tapped my colleague, Nathan Fink, to do it this year with six other riders.
Nice.
And it was fantastic. They had fantastic weather. It is a long day. It's a long day to ride.
103 miles? That's a long bike ride.
It is. And we were able to hit several of our family resource centers along the way to celebrate them and to bring attention to the fact where they are. And we had some fantastic riders from, different parts of the state that were helping us, and from local banks and from other organizations, some from the family resource centers themselves, to help just support this. And the whole point of this ride is about a very symbolic way of showing resilience, because you need resilience on this ride. And Nathan even pointed out, he said, I started to get it. You know, he's a father of two young children, which needs resilience alone. But he said, my legs started cramping. I started getting to the hills, and I was chasing another person, and I started feeling it. I started understanding what it was, just a little modicum of what it's like to need that resilience to push yourself through some very difficult times.
It's interesting. We have a very different but also somewhat similar event at United Way. We have a sleep out for homelessness.
Yes.
And that took place in September and has for the past 7 or 8 years. And I know, and I've done it every time we've had the event. So at some point in the morning, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, if it's raining, it's cold, it's damp, you know, I tell people, like, you're not going to come away from this event having any idea what it's like to be homeless or to experience homelessness, but you are definitely going to come away with just a little taste of what it might be like to experience a vulnerable, sleepless night out in the elements. And if you can imagine what that's like, every single night, then you can start to see in your mind maybe what some of the outcomes could be, like mental health and a little anxiety and depression and how hard it is to get a job when you can't, you know, take a shower and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's a great comparison. I mean, it is very difficult to put yourself in those shoes, but having a little bit of a taste of it kind of gets you your mindset into the challenges that some folks have out there. And if they're given the resources,
right,
that is where the strength comes from. And the resources that many of us already have access to, but they may not. And it may be a mental illness situation. It may be other things, maybe housing, job. It could be several different things. But in the end, if they're given these resources, we know that the success rate goes up quite a bit.
Yeah, no question about it. So, Cliff, in the couple minutes we have left, what's next? What's next for the New Hampshire Children's Trust?
Well, we're starting to work a little bit more within the early childhood space. Early childhood 0 through 8 is part of, the primary prevention, right? Those are very formidable years. Those are when families need resources oftentimes the most. And we're trying to work with our 7 regions across the state to help support them and partner with the Department of Health and Human Services to continue to support them and to kind of grow some programming and support for families, including daycare, which is a huge issue. And we're doing a lot of work with trying to promote the child care scholarships, which are abundant, but somewhat challenging to get to. And so that's part of what we are looking to do, and we hope to do over the next year and continue to grow as an organization and reach more and more families across the state.
Yeah, well, I know that you're partnering with us here at United Way of Greater Nashua on the early childhood front, and we do appreciate that support and that partnership. It's hard work. It's really hard work. Early childhood stuff is just, it's a slog, and trying to create a system which is effective within all the constraints that we have around child care is just, it's a challenge, so.
It absolutely is.
I wanted to ask you, are there volunteer opportunities at the New Hampshire Children's Trust?
I think for us, there are several volunteer opportunities, mostly because we're systems level and we don't necessarily work directly with families. We work with the organizations that work with families. Most of our volunteer opportunities are with our fundraising campaigns and helping us to get those organized and out the door. But there are oftentimes greater opportunities within the family resource centers themselves. And so I would invite people to, call us for sure, or go to our website, look at Ford. There's actually a great finder resource on the website where you can find where your closest family resource center is, and give them a call, learn about them, know about the things that they have. There may be volunteer opportunities there that really suit what you would like to do to help your local community.
I know the Family Resource Center here in Nashua is always looking for volunteers, and Waypoint has a lot of volunteer opportunities beyond that, but certainly the Family Resource Center here in Nashua always has ways for people to get involved, for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, so we are about out of time, Cliff. I wanted to say it just flies right by, but I appreciate you coming on. You said before we started, you started with the Children's Trust about 4 years ago.
I did.
Like 5 minutes before the pandemic started?
Somewhere close to that, yeah. It made for a very challenging start to rebuilding the culture of the organization, and we experienced probably about tenfold growth during that time because of need for families came up so greatly. And we, with our family resource centers, we had that ability to reach those families quickly and throughout the state.
That's amazing, and I congratulate you on that growth and on the work you're doing in the community. It's very impactful, and I know that the Family Resource Center here, as I said before, is just amazing. Shout out to my friend Barb Walden, who works over there. I hope they don't embarrass you too much, Barb. I know you listen to the show occasionally, but they do a great job, so we appreciate that.
They absolutely do, and we're so should be so thankful to have all of these Family Resource Centers throughout the state. It's very unique in the country how our Family Resource Center network is set up, and it works.
Absolutely. So you've been listening to Cliff Simmons, Executive Director of New Hampshire Children's Trust, on the web at nhchildrenstrust.org, nhchildrenstrust.org, supporting our regional family resource centers, doing a lot of other things as well to help bolster children and young families in our community. And Cliff, we just appreciate you coming on the show today and talking with us a little bit.
Well, I really appreciate having the opportunity to do so. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you very much. So we're going to take another quick break here. And after the break, we're going to have on the show an interview with my new friend, Robin Goulette. Robin and I met at the Sohegan Valley Chamber of Commerce a couple months ago. And I said, hey, come on the show and let's talk about what you're doing. And that's what we're going to be doing. Our show does have several generous sponsors. You're going to hear from three out of the four of them during the break. But I did want to mention the fourth because we haven't recorded their PSA yet. So you're not going to hear from them, but I want to tell you about Wanderlust Therapeutic Services. Wanderlust is a large private mental health provider, a counseling center here in Nashua. They also do accept Medicaid and all kinds of insurance. And so we're very grateful for their support, as well as for Edgestone Properties, Fully Promoted of Southern New Hampshire, and CrossNet Inc. providing networking and IT services. You are listening to the Community Connections Radio Show, and I'm your host, Mike Affelberg.
I need to get some new shirts for my business.
Just call Sal.
Does he do screen printing also?
Just call Sal.
Does he embroider shirts too?
Just call Sal.
I also need business cards and brochures.
Just call Sal.
How about yard and lawn signs?
Just call Sal.
And promotional products to give my customers?
Just call Sal.
Who is Sal?
I'm Sal. My wife Jennifer and I are the proud owners of Fully Promoted of Southern New Hampshire. If you need embroidered or screen printed shirts, business cards, brochures, lawn signs, promotional products, and even personal protective equipment for your business or organization, just call me or stop by our showroom, conveniently located at 410 South River Road in Bedford, right off the Everett Turnpike. You can also visit our website at fullypromotedsnh.com. That's fullypromotedsnh.com. We are your one-stop shop for all your promotional needs. Fully Promoted of Southern New Hampshire. Our business is to help you grow your business.
Just call Sal.
CrossNet offers IT services for small and medium-sized clients. We create tailor-made plans for your business's unique needs. From computer repairs to managing networks, servers and desktop services, CrossNet Inc. offers managed services, cybersecurity, data backups, virus, ransomware protection, web filtering, and more. For more information, go to crossnetinc.com or call for your personalized IT services today at 603-810-1000. CrossNet Inc. IT Services keeps your businesses running when you are on the run.
Edgestone Properties is a leading home builder in Southern New Hampshire. With over 33 years experience, Edgestone offers highly valued residential homes, including first-time buyer, luxury move-up, and senior community opportunities. Edgestone also offers well-located rental apartments, including active adult communities. Visit us at edgestoneproperties.com or call us at 603-889-5208 to learn more. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. That's 603-889-5208.
Since 1930, United Way of Greater Nashua has been your trusted partner to fight for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in every community. When a low-income child needs access to dental care, or parents need quality after-school programs where their kids can learn and be safe, United Way is there. When a person with disabilities needs a supportive day program where they can thrive, or a family loses its home and needs a place to regain financial stability, United Way is there. When a homebound senior needs food and supportive social connections, or when it comes time to die with dignity, United Way is there. The programs supported by your United Way are the heart and soul of Greater Nashua. When you volunteer or donate to United Way, you lift up the community where you live and you work. As a highly regarded nonprofit with Charity Navigator and GuideStar, you can be sure that your donations will be used for the work of making Greater Nashua stronger, smarter, and safer. Learn more and connect with us at UnitedWayNashua.org.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to the United Way Community Connections Radio Show. I'm your host, Mike Affelberg. It's Monday, October 23rd, 2023. And each and every Monday morning, we're here on the show talking with you about the work that's going on in our community, mostly nonprofits and community leaders who are trying to make a difference, helping people in our community to live lives that are stronger, smarter, safer, healthier, and happier in all of Greater Nashua. And I'm very excited to have with me in the studio today. Oops, bumped the microphone. It's very sensitive. Sorry about that. Have with me in the studio, Robin Goulette. Robin and I met a couple of weeks ago for the first time, I believe, at the Sohegan Valley Chamber of Commerce at a networking event around nonprofits. So, Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. And I love the purple glasses. You were not Thank wearing you. Those the last time we met, were you?
No.
Are those just readers? Or
yeah,
the, I love them. They're awesome. What a great caller. So, Robin, tell us just a little bit about what you do. I know that it's dance, and you
yes.
try to bring a lot of hope and healing mm-hmm. through the medium of dance to your, you know, the people who you work with. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I started Saving Grace Dance Ensemble probably early 2000s I was creating.
So quite a while ago, maybe 20-ish years ago.
That was like the seedling yeah. that started the whole thing.
Yeah.
I was creating holiday productions at a church. Let's do an Easter program. Let's do a Christmas program. And as a professional dancer, I was happy to volunteer and sort of spearhead that project and ended up becoming the performing arts director. My husband was the music director, and we had a ball doing all that. As that evolved, I really felt like I wanted to create something more professional, more intentional. And by 2012, I had articles of agreement created, our mission to have adult professional dancers become just an entity. And it was quite exciting. When we put the board of directors together and I saw it on paper, I was really excited. So our vision is to really bring good art to the community, to allow professional dancers to have this safe space to rediscover their profession, to know we're going to do family-friendly, high-quality work on the stage. We're yep. going to bring dance that is going to be transforming in terms of just being inspired. We consider ourselves an inspirational, professional dance company, and really the only one of its type in the state of New Hampshire.
That's pretty amazing. So do you have a physical space?
We have the blessing of free studio space where we rehearse weekly.
Free is good.
Free is amazing. one of my board of directors owns a studio in Bedford, New Hampshire, and she offers about 5 hours a week to us. So we're very grateful for that. Our technical address is in Milford.
Yeah.
Which is my house, because basically the organization is really me with a lot of beautiful dancers and supportive board members.
That's wonderful. So you have some, let's just talk about some of the programs that you actually run, some of the productions that you actually do. How does that work? What have you got coming up?
I am addicted to producing performances. It is my passion. I've tried to stop but I just can't.
Well, that is part of the definition of addiction, right?
I'm telling you, it's a good addiction.
It's a very good one, yes.
We do have a traditional annual Christmas performance that we put on at the Amato Center in Milford, New Hampshire.
At the Boys and Girls Club out there.
Yes,
wonderful.
Yes, I love that space.
It's a beautiful theater, yes.
It is perfect for us.
Yeah.
And I've got a great team of support over there. That's November 25th at 3 o'clock. It's called A Journey Through Christmas. It's a script that I wrote. The storyline is really moving. It's fun. It's family friendly. It's got a little bit of cheesiness, and it's got a lot of real life story to it. Underpinned, it's in loving memory of one of my students who passed away when she was 15 of cancer, and her dance community was so close, and I just wrote a story about a dancer who lost her friend. All of that. We have a live cat who appears. We have guest dancers. It's a lovely story, but it also addresses the fact that the holidays are difficult for a lot of people. The reality is the holidays trigger a lot of sadness and grief and disappointment, and we address that. And hopefully the theme of the show is to bring faith, hope, and the healing joy of Christmas. So allowing Christmas to bring healing into those places in our lives that have been difficult.
Yeah, I think that that's really wonderful. I mean, the idea, it's true. Christmas, the holidays, no matter what your faith tradition is, it happens at a time of year which is dark.
Yes.
That's why every tradition seems to have something or themed around holiday lights, whether it be Hanukkah or, you know, Christmas lights or, you know, Diwali. Mm-hmm. So the bringing of light. But that's also kind of a metaphor, right? It can be a really dark time because people do have expectations of, you know, sugar plum fairies dancing in their heads and happy joy. And the reality is always not that, and sometimes a lot less than that. Yeah. So that's a powerful message. I appreciate that.
There's a lot of pressure, too, at the holidays, buying gifts and arranging family appointments and all the running around that we do. Some people just dislike it. And I love Christmas. Like, I'm going to put my tree up soon. My husband doesn't like that, but I'm totally into it. So to be doing a production Thanksgiving weekend is really a wonderful kickoff.
That's fantastic, Robin.
So I'm excited about that. We also...
If you're a dancer, is there still time to get involved and participate somehow?
Actually, along with other things that we do besides productions, is in these productions, we offer a children's dance workshop. And it's not too late to sign up. So if you go to my webpage, you can sign up for that workshop, ages 4 to 12. And you learn a dance, you perform it, but it's a short-term commitment. So it's kind of perfect if you don't want to join a studio and do the whole year being in a recital. We also
And that website, that's robingoulette.com. That's a Robin with a Y.
Yes, sir.
And Goulette with one L and two T's.
Perfect. Good job, Mike.
It's nothing much special. I'm just actually looking at it on my screen.
Thank you.
RobinGoulette.com.
And you can find all the subjects that we discuss are all there. Just there's a tab for each one on the webpage. There's also an adult dance workshop that I'm offering for the first time this year. So I'm really excited about that. So if you want more information, go to my webpage.
And just sign up for it there or request some information.
Yes, you can sign up for it there. And rehearsals start November 3rd. So you have a little bit of time to jump in.
Robin, were you a professional dancer?
Yes.
Okay. So what's the story here?
My story is I was kind of an awkward child.
Well, okay, congratulations. So, like everybody I've ever met, you were an awkward child. So
I was an awkward child.
Well, awkward, like nerdy awkward or what?
No, just not super coordinated. I mean, I have Olympians in my family, really high level sports.
Yeah.
Talented siblings, but I was not one of them. So.
My sister is 3 years younger than me. And also not an Olympian, by the way, and by any stretch of the imagination. She taught me how to ride a bicycle when I was like 7 years old. My father was just like holding his head going, oh my Lord, what's up with this kid? So I get it.
Yeah, I was that. And a friend of mine was taking ballet. I turned to my mother and said, I would like to try ballet. And she kind of giggled a little bit and said, okay.
Sure.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And I love classical music. And I was 9 years old, started taking ballet, and that's where it all started. By high school, I decided I wanted to pursue this as a career. So I was fortunate to audition for my number one choice, the Boston Conservatory, and I got in. And I attended there for 4 years and earned my Bachelor of Fine Arts degree. At graduation, I auditioned for several companies, one of which was Granite State Ballet, which we rehearsed right down the street.
Wow.
I was there, and I danced with the MJT Dance Company in Boston and several other pickup companies. I opened a studio in Townsend, Massachusetts, and had that for about 10 years. So, and I've also freelanced and taught and still do to this day. All the while wanting to really do my own creative work, I started being commissioned and hired to be a choreographer for different companies and schools, and it just launched from there.
That's amazing. Yeah. What a great story. I love that.
It's fun.
It's great. It's nice when also somebody comes along who's like discovered their passion at a young age and has just sort of stuck with it. Mm-hmm. I think that's really impressive.
Thank you.
It's not what my path has been all over the place. So I'm actually kind of jealous sometimes when I run across people who like they, you know, 9 years old is an awfully young age to discover the thing that you're going to do the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was hard, and yeah. It was fun, and I have no regrets. I did take a 2-year sabbatical from teaching and dancing, got my real estate license. I needed to learn other skills.
Sure.
I was an administrator at a church, so I needed to grow as a person, as a business leader, things like that. And all of that led to creating this dance company, and I had a little more skill running it. You know, financially and just from a business standpoint.
So what is it that the community can do to support the work that you do? What are some of the ways in which people can get involved?
Come to our shows.
Okay, so come to the show on, you said November 25th?
Saturday, November 25th at 3:00. Come see our journey through Christmas. We actually have a show in New York City, so a lot of our connections from New York will come and see us. We're performing at the beautiful Alvin Ailey Studios on the 6th floor, where it's a studio showing, but it's stunning because the backdrop is the skyline of New York, you know, ceiling to floor windows. It is a stunning, take your breath away space. And I love to coordinate and collaborate. So a lot of my New York friends are coming to bring some beautiful dances.
When is that?
Sunday, November 5th.
Okay, so before your other show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that at 4:00. That's also on my webpage at robingoulette.com.
Yep.
We are celebrating Leap Day this year with a really fun event. It's the Leaps and Bounds Choreography Showcase.
Is this a leap year?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Thursday, February 29th, we're at the Rex Theater in Manchester.
So we're going to have to work 366 days next year?
Yes, Mike.
Oh, God.
Come on. Get some resilience.
365 was already enough, man.
When I saw that, I thought, I think Leap Year connects with dance.
It does.
Let's do something groovy.
I like it. I like it.
I have... If you're interested in applying for that, if you're a professional or student dancer, you have to be 18 or over. Check that out if you want to apply online. That deadline's coming up November 15th. We are also the creator and host of the New England Inspirational Dance Festival, which will be held at the Amato Center as well on Saturday, April 13th. And I do another collaborative show called Artfulness, which... That's what the New York show is entitled, We do another artfulness collaboration at the Windhover Center for Performing Arts in Rockport, Mass., which is this historic arts campus. It's tented.
Nice.
It's outdoor, but it's tented. So the audience is tented. The performing stage is tented.
And when did you say that is?
That's June 29th.
Oh, what a great time to go out to Rockport, too.
It's a really fun space. People love the outdoor. There's a ton of history there. Some of the big modern pioneering dance companies have been there to perform and rehearse. The Jose Limon Company, Martha Graham, you know, if you're familiar with those names, you know how big they are in the dance world. And this season, we're doing our final performance of There Is a Time by Jose Limon. And we were honored to be licensed to do that, which was a huge undertaking, but extremely exciting and life-changing.
That's amazing. Robin, what ages are most of the people who participate in your various programs?
Okay, this is the fun part. We have some 19-year-olds, and I think right now I'm the oldest member, and I am 59. So the spectrum is full on. I've got 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. There's just launching out dancers, all professional, all formally trained, with some different style strengths. I've got some jazz dancers, some ballet dancers, some contemporary dancers. So we are a full-on adult crew.
So it's a wide spectrum.
Yes.
It's a variety of different skill levels.
Correct.
But all with some skill.
Yes. Training.
And the easiest way to find out about that is just go to your website and send you a contact email or something like that.
Correct. It's easy to contact me through that web page.
Yeah. Very good. I appreciate that. We're about out of time. I told you it was going to go very fast. It does go very fast. So I would say to our audience, check out robingoulette.com. That's R-O-B-Y-N, Goulette, with two T's and one L. I found it just by Googling it, Robin Goulette, and it came right up. And this is a great way to get involved with dance. And check them out on November 25th, right after Thanksgiving. You know, I that's got a lot going on then. So here's the way I think your Thanksgiving weekend should go. Eat a bunch of turkey on Thursday. Kind of recover on Friday.
Go Black Friday shopping.
Yeah, maybe that too, right? Go Black Friday shopping. Get your gift stuff all out of the way. Don't forget about buying something for the Santa Fund while you're at it. Then go to Robin's show. The 25th is Sunday?
It's a Saturday.
Saturday, okay. And then enjoy that. On Sunday, watch some football. And Sunday night at 7 o'clock Sunday night, just tune in to WSMN and you'll hear 24 hours of Mike blathering on about our community. And then wrap it all up on Giving Tuesday by making generous donations to every nonprofit you can think of that you love. Isn't that not a great plan?
I love it. It's a good plan.
I think so. We'll see it's how it actually works out. Robin, it's been so great having you join me today.
Thank you.
I do appreciate it. And hopefully we'll see you out at the Suhegan Chamber sometime very soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike.
You've been listening to Robin Goulette of robingoulette.com. Talking about dance. Go to her show on November 25th at the Motto Center Boys and Girls Club out in the Sohegan Valley out in Milford. And I can guarantee you're going to enjoy it and have a good time. So you've been listening to the Community Connections Radio Show. I'm your host, Mike Affelberg. We will be back next Monday at 9 a.m. with some more great interviews. Hoping everybody has a fantastic week. Until then, please remember to be kind to one another because great things really do happen when we live united.